Hi, this is Around the Table. I'm Jennifer English, and I'm delighted to be welcoming you. This is Around the Table, live from the City of Gastronomy, where each and every day we invite the most interesting and influential tastemakers, newsmakers, movers, shakers, healers, foodies, and friends to join us. We save the seat at the head of our table for you, our guest of honor. And each Saturday, we're going to take you on a tour of the things that are so extraordinarily delicious that'll make the entire week sing and soar. Today is Free Museum Day, and I hope you take advantage of the fact that there are over 13 museums and institutions in the greater Tucson area that are going to be opening their doors for free today. Take advantage of some of these places that bring extraordinary life, vitality, and culture, connection, perspective to this community and make it really exciting to be here. It's a gorgeous day. I hope you're well. The sun is shining, and it is the autumnal equinox. So we're going to talk about things today that are delicious. A little later on, we're going to New Orleans, Louisiana, where we're going to talk to one of my favorite food writers. Lauren Godin is going to be joining us. And as she always does, she inspires us to not only head into the kitchen, but to share good food with our friends and our families. The Tucson Pops are in the midst of their extraordinary autumnal season. Tomorrow night, there's a great concert. We're going to be talking with them about what that program entails, invite you out, and more than anything else, remind you that there are some fantastic foodies and their food trucks there to help make that the ultimate tailgating picnic. And we're going to start off with a celebration of everything the sun gives us. Sun, as in Tucson, 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 Arizona. You know, we have more days of sunshine than almost any other place in the world. And one of the most interesting things that we know about the sun is the vitality that it provides us with. It helps us grow our food, and it does so much more. We're going to take you on an exploration of a therapy and a modality that derives its power from the sun. It's called scalar energy, and I've learned about it by studying the site and the work of my first guest today. If you've experienced things like headaches or other problems, this might be something that will not only appeal to you, but it could be a source of soothing and healing. It could be the source of a new alignment and a new energy. New seasons, like the coming fall season, is a time when we realign our energies with the fact that, you know, the days are getting shorter and temperatures are getting cooler, God willing. And so Tom Palladino is here as an expert in the area of scalar energy. Well, what is it? We'll go right to the source and the expert to ask, what is this and how can it make all of us have more vitality and more what I'll call pure human experience in this coming fall season? Happy fall, Tom Palladino.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for the introduction. Pleasure to be here.
You know, when I first started reading about the work that you do, I tried to imagine that miraculous moment when you discovered something and you had this really, you know, I'll just call it a wild divine inspiration. Will you talk about how you came to be in the world of scalar energy and how you define it for people?
Sure. I think it really started with my study of Nikola Tesla. Many of you have heard that scientist, Nikola Tesla, great scientist, and what he achieved has never been duplicated. He was such a great, brilliant researcher, scientist. I knew he was onto something, Jennifer, and what he was onto was a different type of energy, which is known as scalar energy, or some people call that chi or prana. And what I'm saying is that there are two types of energy, electricity that we work with on a common basis, and another energy called scalar energy that is directly from the sun, from the stars. So I've made it a career out of chasing that dream of scalar energy from the stars.
Now, I don't want to talk as though I'm an expert on the topic, but I've read enough to ask some questions because it's really triggered a lot of curiosity for me about how we can live in this world where the electromagnetic energies that most people are familiar with and the vibrations that come from all sources of energy really impact us as human beings. Will you describe how we as human beings live in the energy world, both on this planet and it's going to sound funny to say this, but in the stars as well.
Sure, sure. Well, let's consider this fact. There are two sources of energy, a scalar energy, what some people call chi, or zero-point energy, and the electromagnetic spectrum, electricity and magnetism. And they both coexist in this world, on Earth. And sadly, we have spent so much time developing the electromagnetic spectrum with technology and with our knowledge, so to speak. But I always have gone to the route of scalar energy as an alternative energy, which is cleaner. It serves as an infinite source of energy. It's from the stars. And it really doesn't have the negative side effects associated with electromagnetic smog.
Now, Tom Palladino, my guest, is an expert on scalar energy. In southern Arizona, we spend a lot of time in relationship to the sun. And we have 360-plus days a year of sunshine, and we have a lot of development of solar energy here. People understand what solar panels are because you drive around town and they're everywhere. Talk to us about what the difference between solar energy and scalar energy are.
Sure. Solar energy is scalar energy. If you look at the composition of scalar energy, all stars will produce scalar energy at the very center, at the core. And then scalar energy will degrade into electricity and magnetism. So what we are using by way of solar panels is that degraded energy, that derivative energy of electricity and magnetism. So in a nutshell, all energy initiates as scalar energy at the center of the stars, but our modern-day technology is using the derivative form, which is electricity and magnetism.
So, in a way, the electromagnetic energy is the middleman. And if we pay more attention to scalar energy, we're going to cut out the middleman and go right to the source.
Precisely. And if we do that, Jennifer, then we end the energy crisis. In other words, as you put it, electricity and magnetism are the middleman that we don't need. If you go straight to the source, which is solar energy, scalar energy, you have an infinite supply of energy from the stars. So the stars in the future will be the power plant. There's no reason to drill for oil or dig for coal.
Wow. And now the controversies that sort of pop out of this, like popcorn kernels popping out of an idea, are limitless. But immediately what comes to mind is the question, how, in addition to the obvious, energetically speaking, in terms of the vibration, in terms of the long-term benefits to the planet, what are the things that you tell people are most important that we consider about sort of shifting our awareness from that electromagnetic energy to the solar scalar energy?
Sure. It is a movement of the spirit, as you put it. And it's simply a matter of time before people understand there is a alternative technology. You know, we've seen alternative technology. You know, let's face it, nobody drives around in a horse and buggy anymore. We have motorized vehicles. Well, my point is eventually the world will see the merit of scalar energy. This new zero-point energy will make its way into the mainstream, and people will accept it and want it and embrace it. And once that happens, the old guard simply drops off.
Let's take the next... Well, I have to ask one question before we leave the mention of Nikola Tesla.
Yes.
Who is clearly an inspiration for you. We have to come to the modern day and look at Elon Musk and the Tesla company, after whom the company's named, Nikola Tesla, and ask, by virtue of doing the kinds of vehicles that he's doing, do you think that this is going to lead us to a vehicle that is purely scalar energy powered?
I give a lot of credit to Mr. Musk. He's thinking outside the box, and he's improving the welfare of people. We need a better means of transportation, a cleaner means of transportation. The batteries that are being used in the Tesla cars today are not scalar powered. So I envision in the future, eventually, we will move away from the electromagnetic spectrum to a scalar-powered car. Now, Nikola Tesla apparently developed a scalar-powered car that could move at a high speed, and it had no combustion. It had no exhaust whatsoever.
Wow.
So it's been done. We simply have to retrace the steps of Tesla. What I'm alluding to is, quite frankly, a new way of technology will bring a new way of living.
Mm-hmm. So let's take this a step forward in your life and your path and your practice and your teaching. You've now spent your career in the research and the development of ways to help people discover all of the benefits of scalar energy. And you've developed therapies that help people profoundly, that many of us, especially people who have chronic conditions, myself included, never had heard of before I discovered you. Will you talk about the therapies that you've developed and maybe those that you practice if you hadn't developed them yourself, that are really a whole new world for us?
It is a new world. I've discovered with scalar energy instruments, I work with these instruments on a daily basis. These instruments control the molecular integrity of microbes, of germs. Everything is held together by a chemical bond. And I've discovered with my scalar energy instruments, I can break down the chemical bonds, the molecular bonds of germs such as viruses, bacteria, and fungi. So with a scalar instrument, it gives you control, mastery. That's the key. Mastery over a microbe, over a microorganism, in which you can easily break down that microorganism.
And these microorganisms are responsible for all manner of things that are, we'll just call them symptoms and challenges that people face today. Can you describe some of the most common ones that you treat for your clients?
Sure. We have a great track record. We're working with the herpes virus on a regular basis. Many people come to us with herpes infection. And these instruments have the ability to break down, to eradicate the herpes virus from the human body. Now, why is that important? Well, because drugs cannot do that. That is, once you have the herpes virus, you have that virus for life. What I have discovered with these instruments, we can easily break apart any virus. Meaning what? This opens the door to control, finally, viral disease.
Wow. And so when we turn to pharmaceutical therapeutics for the treatment of things and then lament that, especially when it comes to bugs that we can't seem to control or that become resistant to the antibiotics that we've developed heretofore, and we think that we're in a race against developing that thing that's going to protect us from the ultimate superbug that everybody warns us is coming, you've already suggested here that there may already be an answer.
This is the answer, because scalar energy is a primal force in nature, and regardless of the adaptation of a microorganism, that microorganism cannot escape this energy treatment, this way of addressing the molecular bond. So quite frankly, what does scalar light do? It negates the molecular bonds of any type of microbe, of any type of germ. And regardless of the masking or adaptation, regardless of any type of defense mechanism that a microbe might offer, it is not able to defend itself against energy, which is fundamental.
Wow. Talk a little bit about the light and what is involved in a scalar therapy session, and where can we find practitioners everywhere that might do this?
Sure. What does this entail? Well, it's quite unique because the energy is so versatile and can accomplish so much. When I work with people, I work with people remotely by way of their photograph. That is, people send me a photograph of some part of their anatomy. And in so doing, I can reach a person by way of their photograph and send beneficial healing energy as a satellite would send energy, say, to a radio or a cell phone. So the way I can identify a person and send healing energy is by way of their photograph. That's all that it takes.
Wow.
So this offers a way of remote healing in which we can treat, we can work with millions of people around the world exclusively by way of their photograph. In other words, you do not have to visit a clinic or a hospital.
Wow. One of the things this makes me ask is, how is this different than something like another energy healing called Reiki? How is it different from remote Reiki?
Well, many people say that Reiki or other types of thought or prayer all are subsumed under this category of zero-point energy and scalar energy, and I would say that's correct. So
they're more similar than they're different.
Yes, they are. If you pray or if you think, all of those involve a response, a scalar light response. In other words, thinking is a function of scalar light. Prayer, emotions are all a function of this energy spectrum, scalar light. Giving rise to the notion that scalar energy, scalar light, is responsible for the instructions of the universe. And
wow. It,
to go so far as to say that thinking is a scalar energy function, or praying is a scalar energy function.
Because everything that we do energetically as human beings,
yes,
is sourced energetically from scalar light energy to begin with.
That's correct. Well spoken. It is sourced from this all-encompassing energy, which is essentially the intelligence of the universe.
Wow. I could talk to you all day long and twice on Sundays, and we only have an hour-long show. But I have to thank you for coming on, and I hope that everybody that hears this today, that the energy of our conversation and the powerful energy of your generous intention is going to reach anybody that needs to reach out to you and find your website and learn more about scalar light healing and therapy. Are there practitioners of this in other parts of the world, or are you one of the few that are doing this?
I think I'm one of the few, sadly, Jennifer. The instruments are very difficult to create, invent, and to maintain. So it's a poorly understood science. So sadly, there are not many bona fide scalar energy researchers.
And I know that you're based in another sunny location in the southeastern United States. Have you ever considered coming out to where we specialize in sunshine in the southwest?
I do live in Florida, but I would love to speak in the Arizona area someday. So maybe we could arrange that.
Well, maybe our friends out at Canyon Ranch will find a way to make us have a scalar light energy conference that would bring this to this part of the country.
I would look forward to that. Really. Thank you.
Tom, before we say goodbye, would you just tell everybody what your website is and how they can reach out to you, engage, and maybe ask about getting some sorts of therapy for the kinds of things that plague many people, that become those sort of nuisance things, fungus in the nails and anything that has to do with these nagging bugs and viruses that you can do something about?
Sure. The website is scalarlight.com. And if you visit the homepage at the very top, there's a red banner that says free trials. Take us up on that. That is, you can submit your photograph, and you can submit the photograph of your entire family, and we will work with you, complimentary services, free services, and we will prove to you that this works. We'll prove to you that your chakras are balanced, and we have the ability to eradicate pathogens from your body. So as a researcher,
isn't the change of seasons a really good time to do this?
Why not? Precisely. Why not?
So Tom Palladino go ahead, I'm sorry.
Avail yourself, everybody, for those free sessions. And Jennifer, thank you for being so bold to interview me.
Well, this is a very exciting thought that you put forward so generously. I can feel your inspiration. I can feel your passion for this. And I can only imagine what it is that you experience. You have to share this with people, and if we can be part of the service of helping you get that message out, I'd be honored. Thank you so much for making time to call us.
Thank you.
We're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we're going to the Pops. You know, the energy of symphonic music can also change and shift how you feel. Sometimes listening to beautiful classical music can make you feel calm. Sometimes the powerful Pops music can remind you of a time and place when you were young or when you were with favorite people. Music has the power to heal, and it has the power to connect, just like food. The Tucson Pops and their Tucson Pops Fall Season at the DeMeester Performance Center at Reed Park is taking place every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. Join me tomorrow night and join us next as we talk to the MC of these wonderful evenings. You're listening to Around the Table live from the City of Gastronomy, thanking our delicious sponsors, including our good friends at Barrio Bread, the National Association of Women Business Owners, where they urge you, if you are a woman and you are a business owner, to connect. And more than anything else, we wanted to tell you that we are very, very proud to be part of this community. We'll be back with more right after this. Live from the City of Gastronomy and our good friends at Lodge on the Desert. They have an absolutely wonderful margarita. They won the World Margarita Championships in 2019. And I would urge you, join me for happy hour on Sunday before the Tucson Pops concert. Lodge on the Desert is located on Alvernon, just north of 5th, between 5th and Broadway. And I will tell you, it is one of my all-time favorite places in town. It is a wonderful place for Sunday brunch, for elegant, relaxed hospitality in the true classic Tucson tradition. And now with the World Margarita Championships, best margarita in town, it is the place to join up with friends, meet up with people, and sip and relax. The Tucson Pops fall concert season is this weekend. The Sunday concert at the Reed Park in the DeMeester Performance Center promises to be a very exciting one. And we are in the hunt, along with the Tucson Pops, for a conductor who will take the baton from Maestro Laszlo Varish. Now, I know how that makes us all feel, but I have to say, it's been really fun and exciting to watch Maestro welcome guest conductors in their audition concerts. And our friend and MC of these wonderful shows that are free and open to the public, get there early. They start at 7, but you can tailgate and have a marvelous time on the grassy green hill just outside the stage. There are food trucks. Sarge's Cheesecakes are bringing the most incredible ice cream sandwich you'll ever have made on those wonderful, it sounds improbable, these wonderful thin meringue cookies as the ice cream sandwich shell. It's one of the best things in town. Our friend and MC, Jack Neufeld is here. Neubeck is here to tell us about tomorrow night's concert and to update us on the conductor replacement search. He is a marvelous, marvelous resource for our community. He's so thoroughly knowledgeable and entertaining, and he makes us all feel welcome from the stage and in our community. We welcome him now. Jack Neubeck, how are you?
Very good, Jennifer. How are you this wonderful Saturday morning?
Isn't it beautiful?
It is beautiful.
All right.
We're
now, tomorrow night's going to be
one of my favorite parts of the times of the year, when it's cool and you can open the doors at night and stuff. But not quite there, but we're getting close.
Well, we're in the autumn equinox today, so happy autumn.
Oh, that's true. That's
and
true.
Tomorrow night's very concert good. Is the first official concert of the autumn.
That's correct. We only have two in the autumn, but that's
yes.
Okay. And
okay, we've got two more.
We've got two more. We've got tomorrow night, and then we've got the following Sunday. And that's it.
Yep.
The 29th is the last one. And, you were talking about the conductor search. Yeah, it's a daunting task, but it's been really wonderful. And we had our last guest conductor last Sunday, which was Chris Dodge. And he did a terrific job, I thought. But over the course, the next two will be just purely Laszlo. But, it's a very bittersweet kind of thing. But, it's Laszlo who was the one that said, we got to start thinking about this. So, and he went through the same process, believe it or not, when to replace Bucky Steele. So he was very aware. He was the one that suggested this format, because it was very much the same way that he did his. So, and we see how well that's worked out. He's a great resource. Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
Let's talk about tomorrow night's program and what people can expect to hear.
Okay. Well, tomorrow night, well, first of all, we have a special guest. Steve Kasachik from Ward 6 is going to be coming over. I don't know if it's his first time. I think it might be his first time coming to the Pops. But he's coming to say a few words on behalf of the city. And then we've got a wonderful, two wonderful musicians, Joseph Pagan, who's a violist, and our concert master, Michael Fan, who is just a brilliant violinist. They both are with the Tucson Symphony, but they're going to be doing a very special duet tomorrow night. So I'm really looking forward to it, because you've got two just wonderful musicians. I mean, Michael last week, he was featured in a couple of things, and boy, that guy can play the violin. He's
right,
terrific.
Right.
That's going to be the highlight. Last week we had the boys' chorus, and we did
that was
have a
amazing.
Lot of kids. You know, I was very pleased at your challenge, and I think it was accepted by the Tucson community.
Yeah, we had a lot of kids out there. It was a lot of fun. Listen, I want to remind everybody that we've got raffles to win some prizes, to support the organization. And more than anything else, I want people to understand that without the support of the people that come to the concerts, these would not exist. And I really
Absolutely.
Want to put the call out. If this is for the virgins out there, if you have never been to a Tucson Pops concert at Reed Park, I want to ask you, please come this week. It is utterly magical. And as somebody who grew up in Boston with the Boston Pops and Arthur Fiedler, and then that tradition on the hatch shell by the Charles River in downtown Boston that everyone's seen on the 4th of July celebrations, there is something so extraordinarily exciting about the music that's played live, and the vibrations and the energy of the music when it's played live cannot be underestimated. It is powerful, and it is a gift from this musicianship, from the group, from the orchestra, from Maestro to you. Go and get your free gift by going and sitting on a chair or on a blanket, bringing something to eat, and give yourself the gift of this extraordinary music.
Well, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Jennifer. And it's, as I said last week when I was announcing the winners of the raffle, I said, you know, just because you didn't win the raffle doesn't mean that you haven't won, because you have won by becoming a friend of the Pops. And you're absolutely right. Without the support of the community, those people becoming friends of the Pops or putting that dollar or $2 into the basket at intermission, that's what keeps it going, because the funding is just not there that once was there. And we really rely on the community to step up.
And we should tell people that, where's Reed Park located?
Reed Park, well, it's between Country Club and Alvernon, south of Broadway and north of 22nd Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great place to go.
So here's what a great Sunday is going to look like. My next guest, Jeremy Collins from Five Points Farmers Market and the Five Points Cafe, is going to be where we start our day. And then we're going to head and enjoy a little brunch experience or lunch experience or happy hour experience at Lodge on the Desert. And then we're going to wander over to the DeMeester Performance Center at the Reed Park, where the Tucson Pops will be having their concert at 7 o'clock. If that doesn't sound like a perfect Sunday with a little napping and newspaper reading thrown in, I don't know what does.
Well, and hopefully the rain will stay away. That's always the fear we have. But I think
we're going to go back and ask. We're going to ask Tom Palladino, my last guest, to send more scalar energy to
There you go.
That.
There you go.
That'll Jack Newbeck work. And the Tucson Pops, thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, Jennifer, you have a great, great weekend and a great day tomorrow.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.
Okay. Thanks, Jennifer.
So the farmer's market at Five Points is becoming one of the top hidden secrets in town. I'll be out there tomorrow along with my friend Jeremy Collins, who is curating an extraordinary assortment of delicious things, both in the market at Five Points Market and in the in the farmer's market. I'm so excited. I'm talking faster than my lips will move. Jeremy, that's how excited I am about this. We want everybody to know that this is one of the really great hidden gems in the Tucson farmer's market community. And their, shall I call you the impresario of the farmer's market, is here with us. How are you, Jeremy Collins?
Hi there. I'm doing well. Good morning.
So
tomorrow, every Sunday, you know, through the summer, we do it earlier on days from 8 a.m. till 11 a.m. We'll switch to 9 a.m. to noon. We have a beautiful little farmer's market down in Cesar Chavez Park, right outside of Five Points Market and Restaurant at 756 South Stone.
And it is notable for many reasons, not the least of which it's the only place where you can purchase Ben Forbes' butchery, his meats,
correct,
his sausages, and you've got other vendors. Let's talk a little bit about who's going to be out there tomorrow.
Yeah, so we're building our vendor pool and adding to the mix, you know, every week. But our staples are typically Forbes Meat Company, who you just mentioned, who really, I can't think of a better place to get meat in Tucson this time. and then Pivot Produce is generally with us every week and has a wide assortment. He works with over 20 farms throughout southern Arizona, so you're getting an array of different local farms represented with his selection. We have Cero Tucson, which specializes in zero-waste products, so she has she has a really cool assortment of things that you didn't know you needed for your house, but you'll be thankful you have because you buy them once and you never have to again. Think metal straws and wool or bamboo dryer balls instead of dryer sheets, and just ways to cut down on that waste. Tomorrow, I believe, we'll have Ed, who sells firewood as we head into the season where firewood makes more and more sense.
And we're going to announce that we are going to bring the Flavor Bank spices to the market tomorrow.
Yeah, perfect. We were hoping for that.
And we have the best spice blends. So I want you to see the holistic nature of how we're doing this. If people remember that we used to have the Flavor Bank Spice Market at Broadway and Wilmont. And when that center closed and became a CVS, I've had more people say to me, I really, really miss your spices. But the holistic nature of it is, I want you to imagine getting some fantastic wood and creating real fire on which to cook Forbes Meat Company's products, seasoned with my incomparable spices and seasonings. In particular, we have a spice blend that is my grilling blend that I use. It's a French kitchen salt mixture with salt and pepper that I just keep in a pinch pot by my stove, and I take out to my grill when I fire up the Weber. And it is just, it's an essential product, and I realize everybody's miss it. And of course, we were the Cartier of peppercorns. So I have some of the best peppercorns you can possibly buy, and I've even got a few grinders for people.
That's awesome.
So this ties it all together. So think of all the gorgeous things you can get from Pivot Produce and Forbes Meat to put on your grill and make a big grill tomorrow night.
Yep, and we've got the Five Points booth is always there. And as you mentioned, we've completely changed that assortment in the last couple of weeks. We have some specialty products you can't find anywhere else in Tucson. Many of them are throughout Arizona to us. So you can spice up your cocktails with some things that we're offering now by Monarch. And we have finally gotten in the olive oil that I've been bragging to you about for the last three visits that you've come.
I can't wait.
It's in, and we've got the pineapple vinegar that makes the delicious salad dressing with it. So lots of fun things to pull your whole meal together.
And let's talk about the scones that you have. Let's talk about the scones that you have at the Five Points booth at the farmer's market. They're my favorite scone, and I limit myself to only Sundays having them because I could walk there and get them any day, and then I'd just be eating way too many. But they're so delicious. They have such a great crust to them, that it is so insanely satisfying that it defies a description. You really must go taste it for yourself. I think it's the best scone in town.
Well, we love that. It's a buttermilk scone, and I think tomorrow's will be raspberry, orange, and basil.
Oh, that's so good. That was so
delicious. Yeah.
Do you know what my son said about the taste of that scone?
He said he
loved it, and then he noted that the basil made he described it as a little bit of a bitter flavor that made the fruity flavor taste better.
Yeah.
Which I
very well balanced.
So let's give everybody the details one more time about where the market is located.
Yep. So we are at 756 South Stone, which is where Stone and Sixth come together at Five Points. There's a small park next to the Five Points building and Bonn and the Cafe Desta, the beautiful Ethiopian restaurant there. Cesar Chavez Park, you'll see our little tents set up. Parking is all around us. And one thing I just want to note before we head out is that, to my knowledge, we're the only farmers market in Tucson that doesn't charge any of our farmers to sell at the market. So 100% of what you're buying, all is going in their pocket to support sustainable local agriculture.
And it's as local as it can possibly be. And it's really intended
Absolutely.
To be a community building, for which we applaud you. And I can't say enough things about how grateful we are that you do this. It really helps that neighborhood feel like a neighborhood, and I salute you for that. Before you hang up, will you give my engineer your telephone number? And we will see you tomorrow at the Five Points Farmers Market in downtown Tucson, becoming one of the most thriving neighborhoods in town. There's a lot of activity happening there. You want to go get the best? Join us tomorrow morning from 8 to 11 or 8 to 12?
8 to 11. We'll be there.
8 to 11. We'll be there. We'll see you there. My friend Lauren Godin from New Orleans, Louisiana, is one of the finest food writers, food journalists, and foodies I know. She's trained, classically trained, culinary school trained, but she has a moral compass that helps the food world that I live in taste better and feel better. She joins me to talk about something that is in the news once again. She comes and helps keep us honest. She's one of my all-time favorite people, and to have her on is such a privilege because, frankly, sometimes I'm not brave enough to do this hard work by myself. What is the hard work? Well, we've got some things to talk about because not everything is wine and roses in the food world sometimes. And it is through her ombudsman role as a national voice of conscience for us all that she joins us now. Lauren Godin, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. It's always such an honor and a pleasure to be with you. And thank you for that lovely intro.
All right. So you're kind of like our culinary Jiminy Cricket for the conscience of the food industry. We went through some growing pains a couple of years ago, and we had a crisis Me Too moment with a bunch of chefs. And then that all seemed to kind of calm itself down, and we're all sort of going about our merry way. And we're kind of thinking that, well, we're better. Are we?
Well, we're certainly working on it, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
I think
we're not there yet.
Interesting. No, hardly. I mean, the news constantly, I mean, is a reminder that we have a lot of work ahead of us. If you follow Fair Kitchens and some of the other websites and Facebook pages and groups that are out there in support of mental health and chef and awareness and kitchen awareness and social justice kitchens, you know that there continues to be work that is needed and needs to get done. I mean, a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that prompted our reaching out to you to join us this week was something that seemed rather innocuous. And if you didn't know what you were looking at, you might not realize what you were seeing. And it came in the form of one of our favorite publications publishing one of their regular lists of their favorite places. And if you didn't dig and if you didn't look, you might not realize that the things that used to pass for journalism, and when I say that in the food world, it meant that the journalists had a whole separate beard awards than the chefs did for the sake of our journalistic integrity. That seems so quaint now, doesn't it?
It does seem very quaint. There used to be an arm's length between, almost rather like in the magazine world, where there was that big dividing line between editorial and advertising. But those lines have been become very blurred over time, to almost non-existent.
What did you point out is Austin. I'm not going to pick on Austin as a city, because Tucson and Austin have a lot in common, and people think we're going to be Austin, and Austin likes to think it's, you know, still better than, but that's got nothing to do with it. This just happens to be the fact
that this is the source. Yeah. It's one of those things. It's very interesting. I'm a huge fan of food magazines. I read them all the big box ones, despite whether I like their content or if I dig the recipes, because it's a comfort, right? It's a comfort thing, and it's a habit. And yeah, the most recent list that was released, and no, we're not going to pick on Austin because it's not about Austin. It's about the fact that a guy who was the restaurant editor, who's now an editor at large, it means he is still connected to the publication in a very dynamic way. He is directly involved in a restaurant that made the magazine's list of best restaurants. And that's not okay. That's not okay. I don't care what explanation you come up with. I don't care what excuses you make. It's not okay in journalism. And what happened is that this... Yeah, I'm sorry?
No, I got to ask a question about this, just because I need to make sure I understand this. So a guy who used to be an editor at Bon Appetit magazine, correct?
The restaurant editor. He was the...
Restaurant editor at Bon Appetit magazine.
Yeah, right.
Okay. He is now directly involved in a restaurant. Is this restaurant wonderful? Is it deserving of the best new restaurants list?
Who knows?
Who knows?
I mean, it's very hard
to say. So we'll put that aside.
Yeah.
So we'll put that aside. So the guy who's involved used to be the restaurant's editor, and somehow that restaurant, out of all the restaurants in America, ends up on the list of the 50 best restaurants.
Yes.
I love the way you're laughing about it. Like, that laugh says everything. That's the most honest laugh I've heard in a long time.
Because it just... is ridiculous. And you know what? It's not just Andrew Knowlton and Bon Appetit and the restaurant that he, you know, his wife run, and they operate this hotel, and the restaurant is inside the hotel. And bless the chef's heart, how unfair is this to him or her? I believe it's to him.
Right.
That is what is disturbing, is the fact that we've come pulled away from the food, and now what's getting attention is this cult of personality and these inappropriate relationships, when really what we should be focusing on is the food. But now it's hard to tell, is it about the food or a who you know? And it is not just this magazine or this particular restaurant or this particular editor. Unfortunately, it is an epidemic throughout the industry, and in my opinion, it's a very serious problem.
It's a very serious thing. And this is not, and I'll be really clear, this is not, and please back me up on this one, this is not an issue where you're okay just saying, well, we're going to disclose that we have this relationship, but we're going to do it anyway. That's the part of the slippery slope that makes me the angriest.
I agree with you, because even in the Washington Post article that came out, it's interesting because they mention in the article, Hannah Raskin, who's the president of the Association of Food Journalists, is quoted in the article, which was written by a gal named Emily Heil at the WAPO. And in there, they talk about that it's not enough to make a disclosure. Making a disclosure doesn't make it okay. It's still a clear ethical no-no, even with a disclosure, and that it's pretty traditional journalism ethics to not write about your friends.
And by the way, when you say it's not enough to make a disclosure, this feels awfully derivative of what's happening in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
I mean, you can't, right. You can't
I'm going to put my name on the building. So, I'm going to put my name on the building or the hotel so you can't ignore the fact that I have an interest in it.
Well, there you are.
And this isn't about politics, yeah, but it's about losing our standards. Nobody wants anybody to suffer like that. All right. What can we do about it? We got about 60 seconds.
Okay.
No, what could we do? Because this would never happen in New Orleans.
Well, actually, it is happening in New Orleans. We have the exact same thing happening in New Orleans.
Will you come back and talk about this some more? Lauren Godin can be found on the World Wide Web. I'm Jennifer English. When you get home today, hug your kids and count your blessings.